Hello there. Welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Slawsberg here. It's always so wonderful to have you along. And today we're going to be covering the topic of bullying. Yes, I know I've talked a lot about bullying before. I've written about bullying, but we're going to be talking to a bullying expert. His name is Joe Wojcik. And he uses a unique persona known as Joe the Biker to present his anti-bullying message. So I'm very, very excited to be interviewing Joe the Biker. He has presented to over 150,000 students throughout the United States. As Joe the Biker, he helps children deal with bullying. Students look at him as the protector and the advocate for those who are being bullied. He sets out on his motorcycle cruiser to put a stop to bullying in schools and by delivering educational programs targeting a variety of audiences. His powerful performances resonate with students as he delivers messages of hope and possibility. He shares profound insights, perspectives, and education through presentations and performances. I am so looking forward to interviewing Joe the Biker. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Great, Miriam. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm really looking forward to speaking to you about this very, very important topic that really, really needs to be discussed more and more, and the awareness really needs to be spread around because it is a major problem. So I'm going to start off by asking you, why is bullying today different than it was, say, like 20 years ago?
I think the difference today is that we have the internet. That's probably the predominant reason. Number two reason why I think the media has really brought it up to the attention of the general public. And also, I also think that the family unit has changed. I was a victim of bullying when I was a child, and they called me Yubby. And I was brutalized in my elementary school. A matter of fact, that's the name of my foundation, the Yubby Foundation, and the books that I've written, I all use the name Yubby in the book title. And that being said, it existed, and I'm 63 years old, quite a few years ago.
Right.
The difference today is that, you know, it was schoolyard bullying. It was more physical. Today, with the internet and cyberbullying, it's kind of added a different feature because it's so anonymous when people try to bully somebody on the internet.
Absolutely. And you know what? In my junior high years, I was also bullied quite a bit, you know, because I was very socially awkward. I was overweight. I had acne. So, you know, and I just am thankful for the fact that I'm not in junior high now because I hate to know what would be going around the internet about me.
You hit it on the head, believe it or not.
Yeah.
The number one, and a new study just indicated, the number one reason people are bullied are because they're overweight. And as Yubby, by just the tone of the name, I was a heavy set kid. And I was targeted by the bullies because I looked different. And even as Joe the Biker, I looked different. But today I intimidate with my appearance versus people targeting me as Yubby.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, overweight and just being different. Even
right.
Having a different name would be a cause, you know. Say if you were, quote-unquote, I really hate to use this term, but perfect in every way, but you had a really strange name, then, of course, kids are going to try to bully you. So, I mean, anything different about you is a target. So, I mean, that's the reality. So tell me, what are the five signs that your child or any child is being bullied?
Well, there are obviously some signs that parents would see right off the bat. A child comes home, they're maybe beat up, they've got bruises, cuts, they maybe have torn clothing, their book bag may be damaged. Those are very obvious signs.
Oh,
what
yeah.
really is my greatest concern are the signs that are subtle. And bullying takes the reaction to it takes forms in many ways. A young child may react to it by not eating, withdrawing, not being able to sleep, maybe taking a different way home from school every day. And so it's more the subtle signs that parents have to be concerned about than the most obvious ones in order to react to it. And that's why it's so critical for parents to communicate with their children. And research has proven that families that sit down and have one meal a day together as a unit have less behavioral problems and developmental problems than parents that don't.
Right, right. You know what? Parents these days are just so busy with work and chores and so many things that really doesn't happen too often, you know?
I take a very strong line on this, and I do consult as Joe the Biker or Joe Wojcik, different adults around bullying, and most common is exactly that. I had a business executive down here in Florida. His daughter's being bullied at school. He calls me up, and he's furious. He wants to go and beat up the principal himself because the was not doing what he wants. And I asked him the first question: how many minutes a day do you spend with your daughter? And he said, what are you kidding me? I'm an executive. I leave when she leaves and I get back home late at night. I don't spend any time with her. I said, well, you brought this child into the world and you have a responsibility. And what happens is if there's obvious signs the child's being bullied, okay, you can manage that easily.
Right.
However, if you're not communicating on a daily basis in an intimate way with your child, helping them manage their emotional reactions to the world around them, you don't know where they're coming from. And it's, I believe very strongly, it's a parent's obligation to take that time. Now, I'm talking of 5 minutes. You mean to say somebody doesn't have 5 minutes a day to take care of this young person that they brought into this world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's turn the tables around here, and I want to know, why do you think that a child would become a bully?
There are a number of reasons, and one of the things that research has proven is that there's a thread between the bully and their home.
Uh-huh.
So
okay. Yeah.
Oftentimes, as I've been into schools where principals have had me speak to a bully after one of my presentations in their school, the questions start asking are around what's happening at home. How many people in your family? How many siblings? What kind of behavior is acceptable at home? You know, is name calling acceptable? Do
right.
you fight with your siblings? How do your parents react to conflict or punishment or discipline? Because a number of reasons why children become bullies is, one, they simulate how their parents react to conflict. So they come to school, if their parents yell and scream and push and shove, well, they're going to do the same. You know, if they're allowed to call each other names at home and fight at home, that's a learned behavior. So they come to school, they don't like what they see, and so they react that way. The other thing, too, is they find that a child that's physically hit as a way of correcting behavior also starts to feel that they're not worthy. And so they go and look for the ability to have power over somebody else, and they go to school, they find somebody that's weak or different, and guess who they target?
Right, of course. Those who they think are weaker than them, right?
The only way it works.
Yeah.
Clearly, is it somebody who's stronger?
Yeah, no, definitely. They would be intimidated by someone who they would see as stronger.
Of course.
It all makes sense. If the bully sees the parents fighting and fighting and fighting, it absolutely makes sense that they would just bring it into school and just take it out on someone who they think is not going to stand up for themselves. And that's the other thing, too, is that what kids need to learn how to do is stand up for themselves. Because the thing is, what bullies, I do know, what they want is a reaction. You know,
correct.
That's the thing. They want a reaction. You know, if the victim is crying, then that's going to be, wow, okay, this is working. You know, that's what they're going to say, this is working. But if the individual who is being bullied isn't reacting, then they just move on to the next, unfortunately. But at least
that's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and as Joe the Biker, when I go into schools, I use that name that I was called, Yubby. I attempted to take my life 3 times as a child.
Mm.
Around the acts of bullying in my life. And I really try to empower students to use that acronym, that you have a right to be here, you have to stand up, you have to tell an adult. That's one of the big challenges is to have them break the code of silence. The U stands for they have to unite as a community, and they find that in a school system or a school where all the students bond in the belief that bullying is not going to be tolerated and have the courage to report it, bullying rates go way down. The next letter is B. And the first B stands for you have to be understanding. I really try to make children understand that if they're being targeted, it's really not about them.
Right.
It's really the bully that has the problem and that they're perfect just the way they are. I embrace being different today, and I believe all children should embrace, if they're different, how perfect they really are. And the next B stands for I talk to the bullies. I really do. The next one is be aware. If you are a bully, what's happening in your life that's causing you to come here? Do you need to consult with somebody, a professional at your school, because something's happening in your home? My wife and I have fostered over 100 children in 14 years.
Wow.
And they were all inner city, 13 to 20-year-old young adults.
Wow.
And
wow.
I can honestly tell you that we have seen it time and time again, is that things happened in their life where now the society takes them away from their parents because of their parents' behavior, and you would expect that the children would act up, and typically they... Yeah. So the next letter that I use is the I in Yubby, and that I stands for intervene. And that's a very critical thing, that when young adults or children see somebody else being bullied, that they do something, not get involved physically, but tell an adult, yell out that they're going to go call the police, whatever the case may be, but they do some nonviolent act in order to make it stop. And then finally, the last letter is E, and that is to express your special talent. And what research has proven is that children with healthy self-confidence, even if they're targeted, can walk away from it feeling okay about themselves.
That's the thing. They have to.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me, is I had a low self-esteem, low self-confidence, so I internalized it. I thought there was something wrong with me, and obviously led me down a very despairing road path to even trying to take my life. So it's important that parents, and parents are ultimately responsible for their children. The parents' obligation is to help build a healthy self-confidence in their children.
And that's how they can bully-proof their child, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Time and time again. You know, I've met so many adults, because I go to so many schools, that have been bullied. Some people walk away from it. They never have a problem in their whole life. And never haunts them. I'm 63, and if I start talking about taking my life, I start crying. As tough as people look at me as Joe the Biker, they think I'm this real bad-looking biker with tattoos, a tough weightlifter. And yet, when I start talking back about my experiences, tears start coming down my eyes because I've been damaged.
Okay, now that actually is going to bring me to my next question. What long-term effects can bullying have on the child? I mean, what happens to them as an adult? What do you see happens to them a lot? Do they have?
Well, there's a number of things that happen, and some of it I've lived myself. One of the things that happens is that you can become a victim for the rest of your life. So we talk about young people being targeted by a bully. But if their reaction to that experience internalizes and it lowers self-esteem, they may continue, even as an adult, to be a victim, actually looking to get abused, because that's the only thing they feel comfortable with. The other thing is obviously substance abuse, and I can speak to that personally because I led a life of drugs and alcohol for a long time until a serious accident when I was 30 years old that took me out for 17 years. And I really got the insight of what had happened to me, what had made me such an angry person, why I needed all the drugs to escape. And believe it or not, in my meditations I discovered what happened to me when I was yubby. And it's, you know, I internalized it. I felt low self-esteem, and therefore I needed to escape. Once I identified that as an adult, then all of a sudden the need to escape disappeared. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the need to be angry. I mean, if you looked at me the wrong way, I'd like to take your head off years ago. Eventually, realizing that, I became a passive person, understanding that I was the end result of everything that had happened to me in my life. And that's why I have such a great mission that I take so seriously about helping children deal with bullying, because I don't want them to end up down that same road. The other thing is obviously the risk of suicide,
yes,
which can be a long-term effect too, and depression.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, they believe it or not, is sometimes children that are targeted become bullies themselves when they all of a sudden become adults. And then they have issues in their life about trying to control people or be violent. The incident rate of violent acts are higher amongst bullies and those that are targeted when they're young than the normal person.
Right, absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense. I do hear a lot of cases of the tables turning when someone who is bullied. I mean, I admit there was a time when I was doing that too. I'd say about 15 years ago. I'm not mm-hmm. proud of it, but I did. I was, I had times when, I wouldn't say I was violent, but I was very crap disturbing, if you will. Yeah. But anyway, you know, it's you just have to realize that it's none of it, like two wrongs don't make right. And that's something that we all have to remember. And you know, the other thing too is that, you know, it's so hard to forgive. It's very hard to forgive, you know. But chances are those who bullied you back in the day probably don't even remember you. And they're not, even if they do, they're not spending all that time thinking about you. They're going on with their lives.
Like anybody that hurts anybody, you know, something happens, it doesn't bother them that they did it, but the person that they impacted, they live with that memory. You hit a couple very valid points. There did become a time in my life where I had to forgive, and I always remember a ride home. I was probably in my 40s at that time. Mm-hmm. I was very much into meditation and trying to live a different life of being positive. And one day I just emotionally broke down because of the amount of anger I felt. And mm-hmm. I had to consciously say, I forgive all those that have hurt me, because I had my own family. My brothers were part of the bullies. And I had to go through that whole forgiveness thing. And I cannot express strong enough, Miriam, how much weight was taken off my shoulders. It was as though I pulled my car over. I sat in a patch of dirt off a side road, and I just bawled my eyes out. And when I was done, I felt light. Mm-hmm. I felt a relief that I could never have experienced before in my life.
Wow. And you know what? A lot of people don't like the term forgiveness because they think that it has to do with condoning the act, which it doesn't.
No.
You know, it's an egotistical thing to hang on to the anger and hate. And that's also why forgiveness is tough, because the thing is, you feel like you're sort of powerful in a way if you're hanging on to it. And
yeah.
I do know it is. I mean, I admit it, I struggle with forgiveness myself. I'm not going to lie. But I also know on the other side, it is freeing. So
right.
it takes time. Like, it's a process. It's a process.
So,
too. Yeah.
You know, even as Joe the Biker, I do corporate seminars. And believe it or not, corporate seminars. And I talk to people about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I really focus on is one's ability to lower their filters and understanding that how we see the world around us is, again, the end result of everything that happened to us.
Right.
So how we react to other people, how we deal with conflict, all that is something that is an end product. And so
right.
and when we can lower our filters and we learn true self-love, that I accept myself just like I am, strengths, weaknesses, good parts, bad parts, the way I look, everything about me, I love it. And then I have the ability to look at other people and say, they are like me, They are a byproduct of everything that happened in their life. So I look at how they're reacting, and I can say, well, I can accept them because I can accept me. And that gives me a tremendous ability to be able to bring it up into the frontal lobe of my brain and manage the conflict.
Right, right. So I'm also going to ask, what steps can a parent take when contacting the school where their child has been bullied?
Well, that's a good question. What typically happens, because when a child is hurt, when a child is emotionally impacted by being targeted, and hopefully they tell their parents, it becomes an emotional experience for the parents. Parents want to protect their children. Parents want to guarantee their safety at school. So all of a sudden, they get emotionally charged. So oftentimes when parents call me, and I have parents call me from all around the United States telling me about their experience and what their child's going through, and questions I normally ask is, how did you approach the school? And, you know, the important thing is keeping in mind that we have to be cool-headed, that this is an actual situation of conflict that one has to resolve.
Right.
To present your case, it's very important that the child and student keeps a journal of when they were bullied, who was around, what time it happened, what adults were around at their school. And so when we have a list of events and documentation of in somebody's journal, then a parent can go calmly and call up a principal and say, listen, I need to talk to someone at your school who manages bullying incidents. And when they get to that individual, they say, well, here are the dates, the times, who was around, what adults were around. Now think about it like a court of law. So when a judge all of a sudden says, wow, you know, you've got specific dates, specific times, and all this information, there's a lot of credibility to what you say, because you've got to document it. And so that's how I try to approach it with parents, is that calling the school, trying to work with the school as part of, as a team to resolve the issue. You've got documentation, and now you present it in a very calm manner. And oftentimes I make parents take 5 minutes before they make the phone call to do some deep breathing exercises, to get relaxed, try to visualize the end result that they want out of it, and then go forward and contact the school. Because I can tell you this for a fact. Obviously, I've been to a lot of schools and talked to a lot of principals, and there hasn't been one principal I've talked to yet that hasn't told me the same thing. As soon as a parent calls me, Joe, and they start in on me, meaning that they start getting passionate and aggressive, it shuts me right down. And that's what you don't want. You want to have the school work with you. So you got to be calm about it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we're almost out of time, Joe. So I'm going to ask, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, there's two websites. One is www.yubbiefoundation.org, and it's yubbiefoundation.org, or joethebiker.com.
Okay, great, excellent. And what about on social media?
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, so they just can go on there and they can get in touch with me that way.
Excellent. All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Joe. This was extremely insightful, and I hope very, very helpful for parents. And even if there's a few teenagers listening, I hope this was helpful to them too, because you provided a lot of really excellent information. And thank you, and you have yourself a fantastic rest of the day.
Thank you very much, Mariam, and thank you very much for allowing me to be on your show.
Well, my pleasure. You have a fantastic day. And everyone else, you be well, and talk to you next week. Bye for now.